Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Inside the Orange podcast. Firstly, a massive, massive thank you to Carl Fix for coming on the show last week and talking about his transition from lawyer to wellness coach, the Friday Fix, and all the inspirational stuff that he does. If you missed the episode, please check out the show notes in the description where you'll find a link to the episode. On today's episode, I am joined by former Special Olympian swimmer and track athlete, Ashton Smith. Now, Ashton first reached out to me about coming on the podcast and said she'd written a book called Swimming Upstream, a book where hope lives. Now, Ashton had a very mixed time in the Special Olympics, and she feels that as a disabled person that she's not actually been able to get the recognition, the sponsorship, and the accolades that she's deserved. And she speaks very openly and honestly in the interview about her time in the Special Olympics. And the message at the end of it all is that hope lives. So we'll get into that interview in a moment. But before then, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page. Or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. Warning, the views of the guests on the podcast are entirely their own. We allow people to come on the show and talk about their lives, and if they mention any individual or organisation, that view is their own opinion. We try to contact any organisation that is mentioned in a negative way and offer them the opportunity to offer their view on the matter. Inside the Orange podcast is a platform for people to share their stories. So my guest today reached out to me on LinkedIn and has got quite an incredible story, a story that has got a lot of negativity in it, but the outcome of the story is going to be about positivity. That person is former US Special Olympics swimmer, Ashton Smith. Ashton joins me today. Ashton, how's your day been so far?
My day is really good. We have no storms in the area. We had really bad storms come through here and actually woke everybody up yesterday. I jumped out of bed because it scared me, but now we're on the right path. No scary storms, sunshine, and we feel good today.
Awesome. So, Ashton, we're going to talk about swimming. We're going to talk about your book that is very much in the background of your shot, as we can see on the YouTube, people watching on YouTube. Tell me about the early days of Ashton Smith. So tell me about the childhood. You are involved in swimming. Where do we start with your story, Ashton?
Well, my childhood, I grew up in Ellis County and Waxahachie and went to school there since the 90s. I can remember about 6 years old or so as far as participating in Special Olympics. We didn't have swimming back then, but I did stuff like land things like field day, running, you know, things like that. I did other sports, of course, in Special Olympics. Even when I was in school, all the way up through high school, I did track and field because I wasn't allowed to compete in Special Olympics in swimming if I was swimming against regular children. At least that's what I was told, because I was swimming against UIL competition. And knowing that, that I had to do that and swim from my, you know, from my childhood. I picked up swimming at the age of, you know, probably around 8 or 9, probably, you know, something like that. I started at a younger age in swimming. And I will say, for me, as an African-American, there aren't that many of us. And I've, you know, been doing it for a long time. And I picked up swimming at the YMCA. Special Olympics did not teach me how to swim. The YMCA of Waxahachie taught me how to swim when I was a child. And I continued to use those skills to participate in Special Olympics. And my grandmother raised me. So if it wasn't for my grandmother, let's be real, I wouldn't be able to do anything, school, activities, nothing. So if it wasn't for my grandmother signing off physically on a lot of that stuff, I wouldn't be able to do it. So shout out to my grandmother. I pray for her. She's no longer living, but I love her.
And absolutely beautiful, you know, and let's be honest, you know, what a fantastic thing your grandmother has given you in that sense, that she gave you the opportunity to do that. So were you surprised how quickly you took to swimming? Was it something that you just got in and it just felt natural? Or, I mean, how did the swimming journey happen?
I'm not going to lie. When I first jumped off a diving board, I was absolutely horrified. I didn't want to drown. But after I got the hang of it and I knew I wasn't going to drown, then I could do it over and over. And I know for me, swimming, not a lot of African-Americans do it. And eventually it became natural and it keeps me in shape and I absolutely like it. It keeps me natural, it's a natural fluent thing now. But back then, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was absolutely horrified of swimming.
No, and again, you know, we're going to talk about your book because you reached out to me and I read it and right. I explained to you it's a relatively short book, so people can go and read it in a lunch hour or a couple of hours and kind of understand where you're coming from. And I said at the time, I read the book.
I didn't want to make it really long because the attention span of people is like this short. Nobody, you know. So I was like, how can I make it? And then I didn't want to make it with a bunch of language, cursing, stuff like that, because this book can be for kids. I didn't want to put any language and cursing in my book.
No, and that's really good. So obviously I've read the book and I encourage people to do it. We said, obviously there'll be a link in the description and show notes so people can find the book. We want to make sure that people can go out and get it. And
they can also Google me under Ashton Smith Special Olympics. I was also featured on ESPN and things like that. And people can Google me. Yeah, it's on the internet. Google me. And you will see, you know, none of that I got paid for. And I feel like I have the right to get paid. I've never asked Special Olympics to pay me directly. What I've asked them was to allow me to get third party payments. And they said no. And so I don't want to be, you know, my story is also about exploitation, but also overcoming that. Mm. I don't get paid. That's not lying. That's not bashing the Special Olympics. That's saying I live in the richest country in the world and I shouldn't have to struggle with putting food on my table, but I'm swimming 6 hours a day. That's a job.
Mm. No, and again, you know, I appreciate you saying that. And obviously it's fantastic. You said the links are where people can find you, because obviously that's really important. And again, we spoke about this in the past, to clarify, it's the US Special Olympics you're talking about.
Right.
That's not the Paralympics and things like that. So, you know, just so people are aware, we're being transparent.
Yeah, we're not talking about the actual Olympics. We're not talking about Paralympics. We're talking about Special Olympics. And if we want to be real specific, I'm talking about Special Olympics Texas. And I can't speak for all territories. And that's a disclaimer that I say. I can't speak for all territories. I cannot speak for all staff members. I can only speak for how I was treated in the program, in the territory and state that I live in, and that's Texas. And I was treated, you know, not very well by the CEO, Tim Martin, of that program. Tim Martin is a public figure, so therefore he's on the internet. I can mention his name. Tim Martin, Everett King, and Dalton Hill all ran Area 11 for Special Olympics, and neither one of those men treated me with any kind of respect.
Okay, and you know, it is mentioned in your book, and again, you mention it very carefully, you know, you don't go in, you don't throw a lot of mud in there, you know, and you know, you get your...
No, I try to kind of poke around very carefully, because this is why I believe that God got something for them. Their program was just shut down again 2 weeks ago because of COVID. It's hilarious to me. I got kicked out the program. Their program has been shut down for 2 years. Then they want to turn around and send all these kids to world and national games in Florida next year. Good luck with that with a pandemic. It's funny to me because I was the best swimmer that they ever had. So
what about, and we haven't kind of spoke about this, but what about people that are still involved? Do you kind of help other people that you have seen go towards the Special Olympics in Texas? Have you kind of, you know, how can you help the situation? You know what I mean? I'm not saying that you're
I can help the situation by telling my story, by telling people to stay away from Special Olympics. Go to organizations like the Beautiful Lives Project, where you're going to be taken care of, where they're going to pay for everything. What a beautiful organization that is. The Special Olympics, I mean, people can look it up. They have insolvency issues. I mean, look it up online. I'm not making this up. You can look up entire articles about the issues and stuff in their organization, and people can look it up. You can type in Special Olympics rape, Special Olympics molestation, you can type in this stuff and it's racism. I'm Black and I dealt with that. You can look it up, Insider Magazine and Business Magazine and Newswork Magazine. Three magazines did articles on Special Olympics Texas and the fact that they support racism. Why do I say they support racism? Because they did nothing about it when it happened to me. That's why I say that. They can say all day we don't support it. I believe they do, because when I confronted them with it, which I have a recording of it, right? I confronted them about another athlete who talked about killing me and shooting me. She talked about shooting me because I'm an African-American and she didn't like the fact that she was getting beaten. And when I told Everett King, Dalton Hill, and Tim Martin those things, they essentially laughed at me and kicked me out the program and told me N-word bye. The Black man stayed quiet while the white man called me these things. And it's not okay. And this white man called me these things on a recorded line. He didn't call me these things the night September 18th, 2019, the day that my phone was on that table recording them. He called me these things the next day on a private line. He called from a private number, didn't even know what the number was. So I know that in my life, I'm not these things. I know that I pick up the pieces in Jesus' name. And I try to find positive stuff in my life. And what's positive is I'm out here enjoying my life while Special Olympics is shut down. That's what God is showing me. That God said, I am going to bring you the bounty. What does that mean? I'm going to bring you money. I'm going to bring you the things that you've been looking for. And not necessarily money as in you need abundance. Money as in you no longer have to worry about what you're going to eat every day. I live in America, brother. This is one of the richest countries in the world. Okay, and I should not be sitting here busting my butt every day and not have anything. So I've had to sell medals, my own medals that I won in competition to eat and pay my bills. You should have to sell merchandise, clothing, things to eat. And this stuff is going to be eventually reported to the IRS. It's going to be eventually reported to the people that it's going to be reported to, because I've had enough. And that's how I help the situation, by standing up for people, amen, who cannot stand up for themselves. Hopefully those things answer your question as far as standing up against people, hatred, bigotry, and racism. And all those things were allowed to flourish openly in Special Olympics against my life. Because I'm Black.
I applaud you for your honesty. I mean, that's one thing. Since we've met, you've always said to me, ask a question, Rich, and I'll answer it. And again, obviously,
right.
you know, and you've come from that. And obviously, it's a passion that you want to fix. It's something you're right. You've dealt with a lot of stuff. Let's be honest. So obviously,
right.
I've dealt
with medical concussions, not only just like mental. I've dealt with physical injuries to my body. I got a concussion in 2014 and Special Olympics never took me to the hospital. They essentially laughed at me. My mother drove me in the back of a pickup truck in Waco, Texas. Okay. Then when I hurt my shoulder while participating in Special Olympics, I hurt my shoulder at World Games. And then I hurt my shoulder again while competing in their swim competition in the summer. They've never helped me. And because they've never helped me, not even with my injuries, and their contract states legally they're supposed to provide medical care if I'm hurt on the field of play. They haven't done that. So my biggest thing is being able to go to court and file a civil suit form so I can represent myself, because I'm going to tell my story to a judge. That's how I'm going to help. I'm going to tell my story to a judge.
No, and as I say, you know, no one can sit here today and say, you know, you're wrong. If you've lived this, you are the only right. person that lives your life. You have lived this, right? And I understand.
Right.
And again, obviously, to keep it objective, obviously, you know, if people from the Special Olympics do want to get in touch with the podcast and have a conversation with me, then that's fine as well. I'm doing that, Ashton, so we can keep this as kind
right,
of...
Right, and we're doing it, yeah. And people with Special Olympics, who cares? They probably won't reach out, but even if they do, at the end of the day, they can't sit here and say that I am lying. You can actually ask them, what money have you given her? No, and they can't say that they have, because they've never given me anything. Not clothes, shoes, food, nothing to help me. I have had to beg for money on the sides of the road out here in America just to have spending money for World Games. Just to have, you know, no. I'm going to entire countries for weeks on end with no spending money? No. And I'm left to my own demise, because Special Olympics forces you to raise money and works you like a dog. No. I'm tired of being worked like a slave, and now I have the hope of my book. I have hope because I have a book, and I'm grateful for that. This book is called Swimming Upstream to Realize the Dream on Amazon. I'm going to use this book to catapult my speaking career, get proper footage, get video. That now we know the steps that I need to do. Get professional video footage. Once we get that together, now I can send that video all over the United States, and now I can be doing public speaking. That's how you become rich in this country. And thirdly, you start an LLC, a business. So therefore, when you start an LLC, you can write off everything you do.
Okay, so I think that really gives us that point. So again, you know, thank you right. for the honesty with your journey with the Special Olympics. But you said about right. your book, Swimming Upstream, and the major yes. takeaway from the book, here it is, yeah, you've got it in your shop behind you, brilliant stuff. Your yes. major takeaway from the book is that hope lives. So
yes.
I don't want to continue talking, and I don't say negatively, it's your journey, it was everything like that, but
let's talk about positive.
Let's talk positive. Absolutely. Let's talk about that. So what does that mean to you, and why is it so important?
For me, hope lives is because you don't give up on your dreams. You know, I've had people die in my life recently. You know, I've lost my sister. I've lost one of my friends, Pedro. He was hit and killed by a car. So what I try to do is have hope in my life, regardless of what happens. And there were many times in my life that I did feel down, that I felt like, you know, you have to understand, you start to feel like, why are you here? You start to feel like, what is my purpose for living when I struggle? Not because of something's mentally wrong with you, but because your physical situation is not changing. My situation hasn't changed in 30 years. Here I am, 35 years old, and that's got to change. So I have hope for change, because I'm getting up every day, 8 hours a day, doing stuff like these podcasts, doing everything I can to promote myself, showing my book at church in my hand and festivals and whatever. This is who I am. This is what I am, you know? And so when you start to do those things and get on these podcasts and other shows like yours and beyond, then others see that. When you share that, they see that. They see that you're putting in the effort, and eventually hope will pay off. Hope will pay off in a way that nothing else can. Hope turns into faith, right? And then when you have faith in something, and I do, I have faith that my work someday will pay off. And I do, because I'm putting in the work every day. When you don't put in the work, then no, nothing comes to you when you don't put in work for it. And I do.
And that's, you know, that's really well put as well. And you know, we've also talked, and again, we've kind of gone over it, the fact it's you know, you've dealt with obviously the racism within the Special Olympics, but you know, the reason you did the swimming with the Special Olympics is that you live with a disability as well, don't you? If it's fair to say, you're visually impaired.
I'm visually impaired. That's how I got there. So when people look at my physical body, I might not look, you know, like a Special Olympics person. A lot of people in Special Olympics, they expect a bunch of Down syndrome people. And there was even a movie back in the day that was going to be made about the Special Olympics, and Special Olympics did not like it. Well, you can't stop people from making a movie, and whoever made that movie, I hope to contact them and contact the writers and people who wrote, you know, who came up with that movie, because what they were talking about essentially in that movie was how Special Olympics exploits people. But I know in my life, again, there is hope because I am no longer in it. There is hope because it's shut down. They're not doing Special Olympics here in Texas because of the pandemic. So everything God said gives me a way out. Do I wish a pandemic on anybody? No, but the pandemic was my way out of Special Olympics. I don't ever have to come back because I know that they're not going to protect me or keep me safe. They can't. I mean, you're dealing with a population that knows nothing about social distancing. They always hugging on you, touching on you. Even, you know, they don't know no better. So there is no way legally that they can keep people safe from a pandemic. How do I know? Because when I was in basketball practice, some people came there with the flu. And a bunch of people got sick from the flu except for me. Why? Because I saw the guy sneeze on the ball. I'm not fixing to play basketball with that ball. I immediately, before doing anything, washed my hands and everything. Everybody else kept playing. All those other people that kept playing got sick. Nobody, because they didn't think up here mentally to go wash your hands, because a lot of them are mentally challenged. They don't think about the now. You know, and so Special Olympics, they can't keep me safe. I mean, you know, they, you know, and so in my life, this has been hope, because during this pandemic, it has slowed me down and helped me sit down and say, God, what do I want for my life? And what I want is to be a public speaker. Now we're going in a positive direction. I want to be a public speaker, oh God. I want to be monetized, oh God. Monetized means I want to get paid for what I do. I want to have in my life to leave a legacy for my family and my child. I have a child, right? I gave a child up for adoption. Special Olympics doesn't know that, but they'll know that now. I had a child, and I didn't tell them, because you're not allowed to have children in Special Olympics, because they think you're cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. They don't think that you're smart enough to have children. You're not allowed to have a boyfriend in Special Olympics. They wanted me when I would go on trips to sleep in rooms with females, and I'm a girl. And I didn't want to sleep in rooms with women. Didn't want to. They didn't allow me to sleep in the room and wouldn't allow my boyfriend to go on trips with me. A coach told my boyfriend that he looks like a thug because he's black. They don't call white folks thugs. They only call black people that. And I know in my life, again, there is hope and renewing, because I know that I'm not these things and I know that he is not these things. But I know that God has a bigger plan for my life, and I'm going to key on God and go positive, because that's what's going to help me in my life.
And again, I think you say it right, because I think, as I say, we are talking about some things, you know, and again, this is what I liked about your book. Every chapter in your book started negatively. And when I say negatively, it started with a challenge, something you did have to overcome. But how it ends, every chapter ends with, this is why we're not going to let it define us. This is where the positivity comes from. You see what I'm saying with that, Astrid? Sorry, just going around on that. You know, one of the things that I love for them, one of the quotes I liked best was, make sure you understand your uniqueness and your value. So obviously, I don't want to keep talking about the Special Olympics at that point, but from now on, what is your uniqueness and what is your value? What do you bring to the world?
Now we're talking. Now we're getting down to me. Okay. So my value is, I can bring a lot to society. I'm well spoken. I speak well. I've done TV work, radio work, and things like that. You know, and so I want to be able to take those skills and help people. I want to take those skills and get people in the right direction. Tell people that you can overcome anything. If I can overcome having a visual impairment, and playing sports, those who have no disabilities and they find themselves in a tough situation, it's hard for everybody right now. And that's something I want people to dig down deep, is find your value in the moment. Like right now, we're living in a day and time that's unprecedented in over 150 years. Besides the plagues or other things they had, you know, this is what it is. And we live in a day and age where even technology is as advanced as we are. We still have to dig down deep and not forget about people and stay connected as we if we can, because technology is going to bridge a lot of these gaps to provide hope and things for people, including myself. And it has provided a lot in this time to dig down deep and find out what my qualities are as a person and find out what I can give. And what I give is being able to, you know, I've worked with kids, encouraging children, things like that. And that's imperative, because if I'm going to teach kids how to swim and things like that, you want to be positive. And I think that my story, my book, is very, very positive, especially in a way that, like I said, there's no language and things in my book. And I feel like I can bring a lot to society to offer them and offer just hope and rejuvenation and offer something new.
And again, I said to you, and this is really strange, but when you said about the book and I went and read it, the title Swimming Upstream, I said it's inspiring, okay. But it took me to just a minute to realize what it meant, that although it's a struggle, you want people to embrace swimming upstream. So, you know, what you're saying is your story isn't just, I was raised well, I was, you know, I came from a rich family. I came from everywhere that was just ready for me to work. I had to work for everything I've done in this world. I've had to swim.
Right.
But I also feel, Ashley, if it's not fair, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that's exactly how you want it, because that's how it's created you.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I mean, we all... We all swim upstream. We all have our struggles, but a lot of our struggles are different for each other. Some people might not have a disability. Some people may deal with racial issues. Some people may deal with living in a place where things don't physically work or other things. So people do deal with struggles. It's just different struggles for each person. But are you willing to put in the work? And a lot of people will say, yes, they're willing to put in the work, but I want to work smarter and not harder. And eventually working smarter will come, and people will recognize your story and allow you to be on their podcast, like this gentleman is allowing me to speak and be on his show, which that's a blessing, because it helps disseminate my story, whether it's to five people or 5,000 people. It doesn't matter. The point is, we want to be able to disseminate my story to new people, and new people can be five new people, whatever the case may be. And that's what my hope is today. And by getting on these podcasts, they provide hope and they give me something to do too.
No, and that's right. And as I say, you know, we have spoke before, and, you know, I admire your passion. I admire so much about you. I mean, we talked about trust when we last spoke, and obviously you've had issues with trust because we have to say it again, but you've also had issues with people online that you feel sometimes that people are kind of not treat you right because they think
they're not
manipulated. Is that like fair to us? Say again, sorry.
Yeah, people lie. They don't, like, just yesterday I posted somebody on my Facebook page. The person lied, talking about, oh, I'm with you, I care about you, I'm praying for you. And then when I go down to their thing, it's blocked. Well, at the end of the day, that's life, you know. But don't tell me on one hand that you pray for me, you care about me, and you love me, but then you block me on social media. That's lying. And I have a list of people, and I will eventually, when I get money, every one of the people who have done me wrong will be published in a book with what they said online. So you can't sue me, because I'm going to put their face there and what they type. You can do that in America. Somebody say something about you, you can't lie, though. That's called defamation. What you can do is put what they type and put their face up there. That's what you can do. And because I told somebody, in America, you can write a book and publicly call somebody out. Donald Trump tried to stop this white dude from writing a book, and the judge told him, you can't do that. This is America. You can't tell somebody not to write a book. You can't tell somebody not to own land or property. This is why America, the best country in the world, because you don't have to fight nobody, none of that. Go to a judge. You don't have to swing no hands or fight nobody. All you got to do is go to a judge and let a judge handle it. That's, and then, therefore, like my book, Special Olympics, doesn't like the fact that I wrote a book. Who cares what they like? It's America. You can't stop me from writing a book about my life. And so I think, for me, everybody has to find that what's for them in their life and write about it and overcome it. So yeah, people online have not been too helpful to me, and a lot of them lied to me.
And that's, you know, as you say, we talk trust, and trust was something that, you know, is
really
important to you. Yeah, yeah. But, and I asked this really, really carefully, and it doesn't mean offense, but actually, right. you are an outspoken person. You don't hold your views to yourself. Do you think that's the issue? Do you think people can't always take that kind of honesty? And again, that's not meant with loaded
questions. Yeah, I think that organizations can't. Special Olympics could not. They told me to be quiet and shut up. Not in America. You don't tell people to be quiet and shut up when they're telling you to help me. Like, I cried out for help and mercy in their program. And when I cried out for help and mercy in writing in an email, I got nothing. So it's one of those things that you try to, again, one of these things, dig down deep and say, I want to trust people, but it's hard for me to trust people when I've been lied to so many times. I don't have trust no more with anybody. I don't trust people. I don't trust people until it happens. I'm tired of people in this country, in America, especially on the internet, telling me they're going to help me and do this and do that and do absolutely nothing for me. I think they don't do anything for me.
No. And I think, yeah, sorry, carry on.
And I was going to say, because of that, then you try to lean on yourself. You try to lean on God first and foremost, for those who may believe in God, or find some kind of faith-based something you can lean on, or something positive, because that's what I needed in my life. And my life is turning around a lot better right now.
Because
I'm honest and I'm open about, you know, I'm not going to lie and make up a peachy life. Like, some people make up stuff on social media like they live in this glamorous life. And Special Olympics didn't like the fact that I opened up the ugly side of their program, as far as these are things that, as I get older, I'm 35. I don't want to be 60 years old not having. I want to be 60 years old sitting on bank on money. Amen.
Why not? You know, and I just want to kind of, I do need to talk about it. It's another part of your book, but we spoke about it again afterwards. There was one thing that you put, and I think it was in the beginning, it was in like the introductory to the book, and it just goes to show just what a decent human being you are. And it was when you were at the Black Lives Matter protest. Now, obviously, you were obviously protesting because of the treatment of George Floyd, event, you know, whatever.
Right.
Going on with that. Yet you were there on the same day that people were protesting against you protesting. So people that were protesting against Black Lives Matter, but you took it on yourself to have a conversation with someone and actually try and understand things from their perspective, which I think that's really great. Can you tell us about that? Because I think that was just such a wonderful thing to hear.
Yeah, I went to Weatherford, Texas, which is it's not all of the town is racist. So I'm only speaking for what I saw there that night, that day. I'm not speaking for Weatherford as a whole town. The entire town, by golly, is not racist. But what we saw out on that square with Confederate flags and, you know, and pointy objects and guns and all those things, I was able to walk up to these people that I do not know. And I was able to talk to them and tell them that even though they believe in the Confederate flag, I told them that you can wear that flag, because again, I don't tell people what to do or wear, but I told them you can wear that flag, but know that in certain neighborhoods, there are consequences that come with wearing that. You don't go to a black neighborhood wearing that. And I told those white people that. I said, it doesn't matter what I think, what you feel. If you go to a black neighborhood wearing a Confederate flag, you will not make it home. That's just like me going to a Ku Klux Klan event. The color of my skin will get me killed. No. And so I think when you're able to gently come up to people, talk to them, I wasn't out there shouting, your mama this, your daddy that. Your mom and daddy are not out here. I'm talking to you. And so if I'm talking to them as a person, then they started putting their guns down. They started putting their Confederate, their flags up against the wall, and they started listening to me. They started listening to me and understanding that, see, the biggest perspective that people can get is when you go outside of America and you travel to other parts of this world. This world is a big old world, and this world's not racist, right? The world is not. But when you are in nations, you know, you go to places like Great Britain or other, you know, colonized nations where black people really are not, you find some horrifying stuff about these countries. And the same could be said about America, that there are horrifying things that have happened on the shorelines of America to black minorities and Indian people. You don't hear white people being slaves, right? They didn't say, hey, we rounded up them and they're slaves. They didn't say that. They said, we rounded up Chinese. Anybody, I mean, they were put in concentration camps in this country. People should study their history. Irish were also considered white, but they were considered poor. They were also treated like trash. So if you're poor, white, anything that is not what they feel that is in this country in America, you know, racism is not everywhere, I believe. I think that it is in countries where it is allowed to somewhat flourish. And it is something that will be overcome. I think that we overcome that through legislation, and we overcome that through education and revitalization. Some people don't believe in revitalization and all that and stuff like that. But the only way to bring up neighborhoods, I feel, is to bring them up to standard. Also, to give people safe places to live, things like that. As an African-American, you shouldn't live in a shack, right? Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have to live that way. So in America, we need to bring up the standards and show the world as a nation. If we bring up standards, then the standards across the world should be like the United States. Housing standards should be like America.
And as I say, you put that so strongly, and again, you can hear the passion, but to be able to kind of converse with someone, I mean, there must have been, you know, that strength that you thought, you know. And again, you're not going over screaming and shouting. You're not going.
No,
over,
I wasn't.
You're educating someone, and you know, you're looking at it from someone else's point of view, but still from your own perspective of it. And actually, you know, what was quite comforting of it is that although it was the protest, you both kind of wanted each other to go home. You know, by the end of your conversation, you wanted each other.
Right. Everybody was listening. When we were out there talking, I started noticing people coming over to listen and talk to us. And because they listened and talked to us, I started educating people. See, when you're at a protest, you can yell and scream. That's not educating people. But when you tell people to pay attention, hey, this is an education lesson, then everybody huddles around to hear something educational. But what they are not, you will never get through at a protest when you start chunking stuff, throwing things. That's not a protest. But when you have a microphone, like when we were out there in Weatherford, we had a microphone, right? Where a lady was on a speaker and she was reading stuff. She was educating people. Nobody was out there shouting, your daddy, your mama, none of that. You try to educate people so that they may not go this way of being racist. I want to educate people to stop racism of all kinds, not just against black people, stop hatred of all kinds, not just racism, to stop judgment of all kinds, amen? Because when you judge people, I don't care if you're black, white, purple, when you judge people for what they don't have, that hurts. Why? Because you're not doing anything to help provide for them or get them out of that situation. Because judgment is not fun when you're the one living under the judgment. Amen?
No, I again, you know, thank you for putting that out. And again, you know, the thing with this that makes you such a great guest is that this is different for me. This from a podcast perspective, you know, I've got
a guest. Very different.
Yeah, it is different, and it's real, and this is your journey, and this is what I kind of.
It's very different. It's a very different perspective, and because it's different, it will allow more people to understand this situation and story because it's very different.
Mm. And again, and I'm not, you know, losing like the what you were saying with obviously racism, but obviously it's right. A claim of disability. So people have that natural assumption about certain disabilities, and by you trying to educate people about the disability, like you say, it's not just about race. It can be about anything that someone as a negative. And again, I don't like using race negative in it because there shouldn't be that, but what I mean is when we talk, also add that onto the disability things, that actually
you're right.
The voice of people who might not be able to share their voice. Is that fair?
Right. And some people can't physically share their voices. I mean, you got people that can't speak very well, can't articulate. When you deal with people with disabilities, let's set aside color and race for a minute. When you deal with people who have disabilities, they can be taken advantage of because they can't read. They make, you know, you can end up signing documents or be forced to sign stuff like I was when I was in Special Olympics. It's called coercion. They'll tell you, well, if you don't sign this, you can't go to World Games, or you can't. But you're asking about using my rights for TV to make money. And it's like, no, if I don't sign that part of the form, I signed everything else. But if I don't sign that part of the form, I can't go. So it's things like that when you're disabled, you can be taken advantage of in any way, shape, and form. And the same thing with anything else. When it comes to, for example, pricing with anything, people have to be upfront about those things and be real about those things. So, but... Yeah, life is awesome, dude. And I'm just so excited. And just knowing that now we're on the positive and knowing that life is going to change. And if I just continue to keep plucking away and being on programs because of the pandemic, it has made me shift the way that I do things because we can't do a lot of stuff in person. So doing these podcasts have actually worked out very nicely. So I have a nice portfolio going into the next year of podcast I was on. So this works out really nice.
No, and do you know what? I said, well, you know, we've spoke about quite a lot today, but it's been absolutely fantastic.
It has. This is great.
I want to finish on something. So I want to finish on where we go from here. So
Okay. Obviously,
I think your story is much like how you write it in your book. So we've talked negativity, we talked that, but let's go. Hope lives, right? The next time we speak to you, I think you'll inspire so many people
who are
swimming upstream. And I think people will want to hear your voice. So where do you, let's forget the past. It's made you, but let's think hope lives. Where are we going to see you in 5 to 10 years time?
I'm hoping to be on a stage, public speaking. I'm hoping to rewrite this book I might start over and rewrite it, but do a hardback of this or something like that, maybe with where the cover's raised, where, you know, you can feel, you know, it'd be great to have that raised. Just some really neat stuff. I hope to have a podcast of my own like you. And in 10 years, I hope to be able to financially be able to provide for myself and, again, someday get off of government programs, because it's not right for me as a, you know, my body is able, I'm physically able. It's not right to be on these programs. So my hope is also to be off of these programs. And when people can hopefully one day type in my name, Ashton Smith, Special Olympics, 10 years from now, they will see the segue in my life and how then I took off and made it happen. So I know that I have hope and God will give me hope. 10 years from now, God will always be here. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even in the times of trouble, God will never leave you. So I believe that, and that's why I put my faith and hope in Christ. I know that we are about to close. If you want me to pray with you, I can. Do you want me to pray?
If you do whatever you feel you want to do, as I say.
Okay, I didn't know that. Some shows, some people, you know, some folks, you know, some people don't believe in God and all that stuff. So I didn't know. But yeah, at this time too, I come to God and I know that believing in Christ, believing in God is getting me through all of this. Heavenly Father, at this time I come to you. Thank you, God, for this man, his service, and what he's doing to disseminate my message across where he lives also and here in the United States and beyond. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this option, his help, and knowing that my story can be inspiration to people. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to use me in any way that you can to disseminate positivity, hope, and to disseminate to those who are disabled that they can do anything that they want to do, and that we live in the greatest country on earth called America, and that America can give you hope also. I know that God is like milk and honey, and I call on his name to give me hope and to give me what I need in my life to make it. And I call on Jesus in these three accords, under the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. God bless you, man. It's a beautiful day in Texas. Tell your folks again, Google me under Ashton Smith Special Olympics. You can find me on Facebook. Find me also on Twitter and all those nice things. You can also find me on LinkedIn. That's where I met this gentleman also. And you can find me on YouTube. Type in Ashton Smith on Facebook and you'll see all of that. God bless everybody today. Have some fun. Get on outside today. Temperatures right now in Texas right now holding at 83 degrees right now. Real nice, sunny today. Sun's above the horizon. Clear skies right now outside. No wind. So have a great time. Go swimming, folks. It is nice, light humidity, wind out of the north today, slight wind, we feel good. God bless y'all, man.
Right, Ashton, look, thank you so much. And we will finish there, but I'm just going to say one thing, and thank you for taking the chance on the podcast to tell your story as well. I love the openness. I love the honesty. Yeah. And I, again, my podcast guests can always come back, and I want to come back when you are 5 to 10 years down the line and you are motivational speaking and you are changing the lives of people that
I am one step at a time.
Absolutely. Changing the lives of people that are having to swim upstream, and you're saying, guys, let's embrace it. Ashton, bless you. Thank you so much for today. Have a wonderful day, and we will speak again.
We will speak again. Tell these folks, this is my book. This is what it looks like online. You guys go pick that up on Amazon and at Walmart. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you, Ashton.
We approached the Special Olympics headquarters in Washington for a comment regarding the Special Olympics Texas and Ashton's story. The Special Olympics at Washington kindly said they would pass the message on to their Texas team. As of time of recording this, we have yet to hear back from Special Olympics Texas.
Thanks so much to Ashton for the open and honest interview that we had with her. And we wish her all the best. If you need to go and check out her links or find her book, then again, the show notes and the description, you'll be able to find links to that. On next week's show, it's the wonderful Denny Coates. And Denny will be talking to me about the relationship between parents and children and how that relates to business and how that relates to life in general. So until next week, goodbye and take care. And as always, here's how you can get in touch once more with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at orangewhats, orange, W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.